But those are the guys that you want, the guys that have the dog in them, you know, the guys who are going to fight all the way.
That are going to look at that depth chart and go, I'm a rise. The dog days of summer are here. Temperatures rising.
So are the tempers.
The boys are brawling. Problem?
I don't know. We'll see.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirty and gritty.
NYJ. Couch Scouts. I'm your host,
Peter Antonelli.
I'll tell you right now, the Antonelli household was rocking. And my co-host,
Justin Schwenberg.
No question, we're top five.
Top five dead or alive. NYJ.
Couch Scouts.
Welcome to the NYJ Couch Scouts podcast. This is your host, Peter Antonelli, here with my co-host, Justin Schwenderman.
What's going on, Jet fans?
We're 9 practices in. We're in the heat of August.
Woo.
And we figured we'd just bring it to you. We're things we've heard, things we've read about camp, and what we think so far.
Let's start with the heat, man. First, we got Brandon Marshall punting the ball over the stands in frustration. And then we got Revis and Brandon throwing punches, man. What do you think about that?
It's training camp. I don't think much more into that because it's just some big-time Grizzly vets going at it. I'd like to see Revis not brawling, as you put, and throwing punches with the wrist.
Exactly.
That's just a little bit of a personal end of it, though. But I can promise you, knowing nothing about it, there is nothing that will come of this.
Well, here's some quotes from what they had to say. Brandon says, we're pros. Me and Revis are actually close. What happens on the field stays on the field. It's done. Revis, it's football, man. That's all he had to say. It's football. Bowles was asked if he liked it. He's like, I love it. We're not judging a beauty pageant here.
Second and third quotes for me are everything I was alluding to there. It's football. This is training camp. You walk off that field after that practice, and that's done. Unless it's a personal thing, potential IKA Kambale Geno Smith. I mean, we don't got to go there. But unless it's really something that's brewing and something that's been behind the scenes, that is simply the heat of training camp and just being out there every day and the same repetitions from 10 and 12-year vets going through individuals.
Yeah, I don't think it stems from off the field. I definitely think it's an on-field. Two of the biggest competitors on the field, as you say, Revis is a possible Hall of Famer, and Brandon Marshall, another possible Hall of Famer, going at it in practice at two dominant positions on our team. They're just, of course, they're going to brawl like that. They're getting physical. They're two physical guys. Things are going to happen like that. My question
there
is,
there it is. I love that you brought it there.
My
Go ahead.
Question for this is that this is twice in a week that we saw Brandon get frustrated, because we know Revis gets mad, but he doesn't throw punches like it's normal, you know. Brandon is the one with the big ego, the big emotional guy, that kind of player to the locker room. So is Brandon getting frustrated at himself that maybe he's losing a step, or the extra weight that he took off, he can't be pushing Revis around like he was last year?
I don't know about losing a step. I like where you went on the latter end of that better. Maybe his body isn't muscling guys around the way. Look at Indy last year, week two. That man was hit at the three and eventually was hit by three people and walked them into the end zone. At 240, 245, you can do that. In the 225 range, trying to gain a step is where he may be giving a little bit in that category right now. So I like where you went there on the back end of it, because I think that has a little bit of credential, and that's something to be looked at. As the season goes on, that weight is gradually going to come back on. Not being out there, it used to be twice a day. It's not like that anymore. But not being out there for 3.5 hours of a training camp. You know what I mean? And just the rigors of the season and all that. I could see him putting a little more back on. Maybe he would like to throw a little more back on. But Brandon Marshall's a very, very tumultuous guy. You know what I mean? So these are things that are going to happen to regular players, and they happen a little more prevalent for him.
My thing is about all this whole week, Jets news has been these two went at it and they punched each other or they threw hands, whatever you have to say about
it. Yeah, that's the New York
media, though. And you got fans worried about maybe the locker room because of this. I'm not worried about the locker room. I'm worried about if Brandon can bring it, because we know Revis is going to be just fine. My thing is, because of Brandon's weight loss, I'm more worried about, is he going to be as consistent as he has been in the years before this, you know?
I think a big part of the answer to your question or to your point is Fitzpatrick. And I'm sorry to bring it there, but the calming factor that Ryan Fitzpatrick brings to the offense, and even more so on a personal level for Brandon Marshall, plays a huge role in that. And I just think Marshall is, I don't want to use the word contained or harnessed in this situation, because I don't think he's that wild beast that he was as a rookie anymore.
Of course.
I think Marshall will be fine. This is a, I feel we've talked about it a little too much right now. This is really a non-story that with New York media and two juicy players, you know where I'd be nervous locker room-wise, where I wouldn't say this is a non-story? Decker and Marshall. Or Amaro and Marshall. And it was a little more than
just
Marshall.
Because of Marshall's ego?
Yes. Yeah. And no. The offensive side of the ball. The fact that it would be same side going at it. If Marshall's getting in Bilal Powell's face on a much larger scale than just, come on now, let's pick it up. And he's getting at him for missing a chip or something along those lines. That's where I'll start to say, is Marshall getting to the point
Don't be annoying. Don't yes. be annoying.
And not so much even annoying, just same side of the ball. For me, problem. Offense versus defense should and is going to happen every year. And should happen more so.
And like, if you guys listened last year, you know that I'm a big defender of what Marshall's turned into over the years and how he doesn't bring that locker room down anymore. And I don't think this is the case either. Obviously, as his talent dwindles, as the years go on, like every player in the NFL, does he become more of a problem in the locker room because he's frustrated with himself? That's what I'm nervous about. I'm not nervous that he's going back to his old ways. I don't think that's what his problem is, in getting the ball more from his quarterback and stuff like that. I think if his talent does start to dwindle, does he get mad at himself and bring that upon his offense?
It makes sense to agree, and it's a very valid point. But where Brandon Marshall's game has evolved and what it's turned into, I don't see that, because to me, he is a souped up possession guy. I know he hit a couple big deep balls and you know, we saw some run after the catch that was impressive, but Marshall to me now is a body. He's not getting much separation per se, but he's a body that's going to go up, fight for the ball, and knows how to as a vet.
And that's the one thing that scares me about his weight loss, is that last year we saw a lot of catches in the red zone, in the end zone, of him literally putting his hands up there and grabbing that ball over cornerbacks.
That's why I love that you went there and gave me that option in your question before, because that's where I feel maybe the game could be affected. I don't feel losing a step or any type of downfall coming from Marshall, and I don't see that, and I'm padded in saying that because of where I think his game is and what he does for this offense.
Okay, but before we stay, I want to stay on the wide receivers, but I want to ask you this one question. There was this question asked to Revis this week, him changing positions to safety. What do you think about that?
It's a nice way to wrap up Revis and Marshall here, and let's move into these practices that we're here to talk about, but I won't even entertain that. I told you how I felt about that. 3 years to me minimum before we're having this conversation. This is premature. It's 2016 Darrell Revis. It's not 2009 Darrell Revis. We know this. But 2009 Darrell Revis was so good that he can get 7 years older and still be one of the best in the business. You people need to stop. You need to stop out there.
Yeah, guys, I agree with Pete.
This man's a corner. He's going to be there a couple more years at a minimum. Get on board and be appreciative and happy for what you get to see on Sundays.
All right, let's talk about current events.
Go ahead. Where you want to lead? Lead us in.
I want to lead by the beast of two wide receivers that we have in Quincy Enunwa and Jalen Marshall. How big are these guys?
I'll call them beasts when I see it on Marshall's end on an NFL field and on Enunwa's end on a consistency level. And Enunwa, they've said, hands are glue this training camp.
Hey.
I still want to know what Enunwa does in Buffalo week 17 with that little shovel at the 30. He holds on to that. He's still running.
I'm sorry to get back into the argument that Revis and Brandon have, but as they heard there was a player that lifted Brandon up like he was a toothpick and walked off, heard that was Quincy Enunwa.
Bro, you see these pictures coming out of camp? He looks like Macho Man.
He is a monster. The man.
And that's why I was surprised to hear how much receiver he's been playing at camp. Now, that's a positive if we want to steer it in a Jason Morrow.
That's what I was going to get into, yep.
But I was surprised because I really liked that role Q was in last year, and I thought he could flourish in that. But if that's another way to get Amaro involved, and you can use Quincy's 4.4 speed with this body we're talking about now.
My goodness, man.
It's another dimension that could be added to this offense. Imagine if we can get Devin Smith taking the top off and a Jalen Marshall working something underneath.
How about the rookie?
With Q. You're running out of, you can only play with 11. It's a nice position we're putting ourselves in.
Oh, my goodness. This wide receiver position for the future looks amazing.
It could be fun, but let's not forget, Marshall has yet to take an NFL snap.
We're talking about Jalen here.
Yes. Let's, obviously, let's temper the beast and the what a future receiver position we have. This kid's still got to make the team.
He is woeing people, though.
I do feel where I had the stance in the offseason of, you know, Jeremy Ross is probably going to be the veteran that they trust the job to on a win now team and will try to sneak Marshall onto the practice. No. I've completely jumped ship on that idea. If this holds up and barring the scary end of the injury, but Jalen Marshall's on this 2016 team if we're taking the field this Sunday for game one, in my opinion, no doubt.
You're dang right.
You have heard nothing but veterans and people on the defensive side. You've heard Calvin Pryor. You've heard Gilchrist. But you look at an Eric Decker talk about the ins and outs of the position that he feels Jalen Marshall is getting to the point of true comfort with, and it's impressive. This kid was a quarterback. Three and a half years ago coming out of high school. This kid was a 5-star quarterback. And you got an Eric Decker talking about nuances of the position that he's excelling at. It's exciting to hear.
I love what I'm hearing.
Mikey Mack, undrafted. Find him anywhere we can find him, man. We got a good team working at scouting department now.
He does not disappoint.
Anywhere else you want to go offensively through camp?
Well, it's hard to get, obviously. Ryan's getting the first team reps now. Gino had a nice little run a couple days ago, but one of the biggest positions that we included this year
was Matt. Can you backpedal for a second? Matt Gino had a nice little run a couple days ago?
Yeah, nice run off the middle, you know what I mean?
Gino's had a rough training camp.
I'm not saying
the super
that
Gino that we saw in OTAs and mini camp, which were all important that Fitzpatrick was
missing. With the first team.
Which I'd like to go a little side route there. How about Fitz talking about, you know, maybe taking that rest and outside of putting toys together with his kids, I think was his quote. He didn't do nothing throwing
wise. How many kids does he have? Like 5.
He didn't do anything throwing wise, though. And he said he feels his arm is a little more lively right now through training camp because of it. So nice little side note there on the missing the all-important OTAs in minicamp.
Let's hope so.
Gino, who looked great, though, throughout the whole offseason, kind of sputtering a little bit as live-er. Bullets are flying, no?
Do you think that affects if Bryce Petty might be on this team?
I like, and I wish you would have worded the way you said Gino had a nice little flurry the other day. Petty has had a couple nice little flurries through camp. And this is a guy that, as my father would say, forgotten about. I mean, a lot of people have kind of just threw on the back burner to the point where, you know, he's cut him. We ain't going to carry 4 quarterbacks. Cut him.
Yeah, he'll be there till week 4 in the preseason to see him play the whole game, and then we'll cut him.
I don't see that, and I still don't see
that. I hope not.
And I'm excited to hear the reports of Petty throwing some balls that are downright impressive, regardless of whose hand they were coming out of, and really making some reads that some of these passes you hear he's throwing, you got to be able to see the field come back to or place the ball right. So I hope he's taking that next step. You can't have enough talent at the quarterback position in the NFL or at any level of football for that matter.
So another position I wanted to bring up is we haven't seen Forte at all yet. You know, how is it, should we be worried about this, or is it just a nagging injury that he's going to have throughout his time here?
I understand your trepidation there, but I don't think this is anything to be worried about yet. Hamstrings are tricky, and I like that we're playing it cool.
They last.
To me, Matt Forte, I'm not calling him Adrian Peterson, but Matt Forte to me is an Adrian Peterson type of treatment. If he gets 3-4 carries against the Giants, maybe one tote week two. I believe it's Washington. That's good enough for a veteran like Matt Forte. And in this case, you know he isn't playing week four. So I don't even know if that week two carry is worth it or something he should suit up for either. I know he's going to miss this upcoming Thursday night's game, and I think that's a good thing. What's the rush? There's nothing Forte really has to knock off. The guy had like 1,300, 1,400 yards from scrimmage last year. He's luckily not coming off of any type of serious injury. So, to me, there's nothing Forte really needs out of the preseason other than to get out healthy. So, let's get him healthy now.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I agree. I don't think it's gonna be a huge issue with Forte. Obviously, it's a hamstring, and it's a nagging injury. So, we got to hope that he can heal it and take it. You know what? If he needs to take as much time as he needs in this training camp period to be ready week exactly. one, take it.
Now, I would like for him to get the proper reps for training camp itself, especially toward the last third of it.
He needs to load this playbook.
Yes, I know he probably has a good handle on it mentally, but it's still different doing it out there when linebackers are buzzing down your ear. So it's still something I'd like for him to get acquainted to. And with the schedule we have that we've talked about, I don't want Matt Forte thinking the first couple weeks of the season. So it'd be nice to get him comfortable, but I'm not hitting the panic button just yet on this hamstring at all. Okay. I'm comfortable with it right now.
Okay. I know I started this off with Brandon and Revis. Let's go to the other side. How about Buster and Decker all week?
I'll go there with you. I'd like to touch back on another injury, but I'll go there with you right now. Very exciting to hear what Buster Screen has looked like. But I feel from the description of the plays he's making, the majority of his wow, jaw-dropping plays have come out of the slot, which we've talked about. Keeping Buster in that slot is what keeps him dangerous to me.
There was a practice where he had one of his best practices, and it was on Decker, though. And my question that I had to bring for this show was, yeah, everybody, Buster's opening so many eyes. Everybody's so amazed how Buster's playing. But could it be Decker just dwindling a little bit, or is it Buster really stepping up?
You got to fear our wide receiver position's getting old real quick.
I'm nervous because I'm not saying Buster's not good. Buster's great, and he's scrappy, and he's small, and he's quick. But Decker is a professional, and he's a pro, and he's a veteran, and he knows how to go in there and play practice and just get his reps, and he's good with, and not get tortured by a cornerback.
But to me, that's Screen's game.
Well, no, I'm excited about that. But should we be excited by saying, okay, he's getting to Decker? Is he going to get to every other number two in the league? Or is Decker losing a step we're going to be surprised by maybe Buster's not that good because Decker didn't have have all of Decker in training camp?
No, I won't entertain that. I really couldn't. To me, Decker's going to get his. Right now, Screen's making some plays that jump off the screen, and he's being noticed for him. And that's a good thing because we're looking to really replace big-time reps from Antonio Cromartie.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Buster's definitely doing a good job by stepping up. There's other cornerbacks that also stepped up this year. I just wanted to throw that out there. If Decker was possibly losing it I'm not nervous about Decker. I think he's very, very consistent, but he's got to pick up those fumble problem. But other than that, I was just, you know, Buster, we've never seen how this great of play in training camp like this.
I can see it, and I understand where your head's at. But another end of it is a defense starts to get comfortable with what they see from an offense at this point in training camp. You know what your offense is running. Smart guys that at this point Screen is a legitimate veteran. Guys that have been around the block and have seen everything. They start to recognize what's coming at them on a daily basis. So you know what? Maybe Screen's able to jump that in cut or jump that comeback because he's got a nice tip it's coming based on formation, or he's seeing Decker every day. Revis is seeing Marshall. Now we talked about M-Dubs in there a lot, and Williams is going to be coming in on the outside. He's getting those reps as well, but on an everyday basis, yes, it is Screen versus Decker. And they're getting comfortable with each other. Screen has the agility on Decker. Decker's got the smarts on him. So when you take that edge away a little bit of a defender possibly knowing what's coming at him, you're taking away what Decker's got on Screen. So that could have a little hand in it too, or why you think he's standing out so much against Decker. I ain't worried about Decker's play this year. I'm excited about what you're hearing from Screen, though.
Should we be worried about the offense a little bit? They're coming in a little slower than the defense. You know, our defense is more talented, but even Ryan had to call the offense over and talk to them a little bit.
Which was great. I love that you said that, because they wrote an article on this is why he's worth the 12 mil. I won't go there with it, but this is why it was imperative to have him back. He is, as I said earlier, the calming presence. He is what this offense looks at and listens to and says, you know, what point's he making right now? When they speak, he listens. And him calling them over and saying, you know, this was a good practice, and it was a terrible practice.
Terrible.
But the point he was making was there was good things to take out of it, and we know what rock bottom is. We know what it looks like. We're going against a very good defense on a daily basis is really what I think the premise of what he'd like to be able to say is. And that's something you have to take out of when you hear reports of the offense sputtering a bit. The defense is going to naturally have that step on the offense. Defense is much more reactionary, and you use your athleticism a little bit more. Offense takes a little more time to gel. That's why it's nice when you have your full offensive line coming back, and that's where I'm going next with this. But to me, our offense plays daily, and it's going to make them that much better in the regular season against a very, very good defense who are gelling quite nicely and quickly with the McClendons coming in.
McClendon.
And with Mo not being in there right now. You can go there next. I want to hop back over to the offensive side. We started out with Breno on the pup because of his back. Breno's still out. We're shuffling three guys on the right side, which we've talked about, in an Ajalana, in a Shell, in a Quale. But is this getting to the point of being a position where you should be nervous, a la what you were saying with Decker and Marshall, and you were nervous about them taking a step down?
I'm definitely nervous just because Breno has given me a headache since he's gotten here. So now that he's injured and having not being back, and he was probably, you know, the most solid veteran that we got there, now we got these three younger guys trying to win over this position that's important to us, very important to us. Not that Breno really brought a threatening right tackle, but it's a little bit more.
He was a steadying force who was a veteran.
He was steady, exactly. Again, he gave you headaches, but we expect that from any weak point.
Gives
in
you
the
a little attitude
line.
Too, though.
He does. He does bring a lot of attitude to the game. But yeah, that makes me a little nervous. But I told you last week that I think that Shell could have turned out that he's obviously not turning heads like I thought he would. But even Quale or Elijah. What's his name?
Ajalana.
Yeah. Even him, they have to get their reps anyway, because I think Breno might be on his way out in the next year.
You see them dogging him the other day, by the way? They took a picture of him in the cold tub or the hot tub. They said Rick Ross. Really, Ajalana really does look a little like Rick Ross.
That's pretty funny.
Going back to Shell, though, who you talked about, I noticed that they put him a little inside at guard when you hear reports. Was that something that you were nervous again about in terms of not showing the development, or are they bouncing him around, seeing, you know, what he brings and where he may fit best and or value wise in terms of versatility?
It only makes me nervous in the fact that he wasn't ready to play right tackle right away. But I think they put him in there because they want to see how versatile the young guy is.
I don't think he's ready to play right away. And I told you that when you were talking about your excitement for him. I don't think he's ready to play right away right now. There is a lot there to be excited about. I personally feel he's a better overall prospect than Jarvis Harrison, who we took in the fifth round the year prior. Same regime. As I said earlier, you start to see that mold they like, though. I just think Shell brings a lot to 2017 and 2018. I hope we don't have to rely on him right now.
My thing is, if Breno's back week one, in a case of an injury on the line, do you think Shell gets the opportunity?
I think Quale gets the opportunity. And if Dakota Dozier shakes, this roster shakes free and we get our final 53 and he's still around, I think Dozier's going to be your main swingman on the inside. But I think Quale's first call on the outside, whether it's right or left side. My real question, though, does this back injury get to the point of maybe one of these guys stands out enough and they cut ties this year as opposed to next year?
With Giacomini, you're talking about.
Roughly $4.5 million, $5.5 million?
Hey, if it works out like that, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Not that I hate Breno, but again, he gives me headaches and he doesn't always defend.
How comfortable would you be with Brent Quale being our starting right tackle?
As comfortable as I was when Brian Winters was our guard. You know, a young guy coming in, you're going to have hiccups, but you have to go through them.
That's a nice way to steer that. And a lot of people, as we said earlier, were ready to ship Winters out of here. And Winters has really put himself in a position where he can get a nice little paycheck in the offseason. And hopefully he has the type of year where he's brought right back here. And you're looking at Winters, Carpenter, and Mangold being your interior offensive line going on a third and possibly fourth season together.
Which I don't have a problem with.
Very rare nowadays.
And if Clady's healthy, there's another player.
That would just be icing on the cake. I want a healthy Clady this year. And as we said, be nice to not be looking for a left tackle next year.
And we came into last year thinking that our offensive line was weak, and again this year it's another question: is our offensive line weak? But last year we gave up the least amount of sacks in the league.
Yeah,
didn't we?
Said you personally felt they played great. I wasn't willing to go great, but I felt they had their moments.
Ivory had a great season. That's dwelling from the offensive line, and we had one of the best passing years for Jets history. So, and to have up the least amount of sacks in the league, I think the offensive line did play great.
My boy, Fitzpatrick, had a lot to do with that. With his legs, with recognizing pressure, knowing where the guy was coming, getting out of there quick, tucking it down quick. A lot of big first downs he gained.
You know,
last
the
year.
One thing that he needs to work on a little
sliding.
Bit?
Sliding.
Or how about throwing it over people's heads? Because how many times did the ball get batted down last year?
Listen.
With his little sidearm shot. Hey, not hating on him.
Yeah.
But I don't like the sidearm.
It doesn't sound like it at all. Listen, let's get through these transactions here because I want to get into who your standout has been outside of Jalen Marshall. That's the easy one. But let's wrap this up here. Our pup list, we opened up with Wilkerson with the leg as well as Kyrie Robinson with the leg. Him, I'm looking forward to seeing in green and white because as you were just talking about Ivory, I think that's the power in our backfield right there.
Yeah, I'm
excited
about
him. And I
want
to see what he brings to the table. Carpenter opened up on the pup with the hamstring. He since has been activated. We got Devin Smith on the pup with the ACL. Hoping to get him in by the end of camp.
Hoping
to not have to open the season with him on the pup.
Please, no.
Breno, we just touched on with the back. Robinson, we touched on when we talked about Wilkerson with the broken leg. And Kendall James, who since has been released, waived with an injury, same one, and has been brought back on our IR. Couple transactions we've made. Hackett was the release for Fitzpatrick, as we all well know. Bernard Pierce was brought in. Gold cleats and all. As you said, another Temple boy.
Another Temple boy. And you know, that's what Bowles said, too. He went to Temple.
Zach Stacy, obviously, rehab just wasn't progressing the way they felt necessary. Moved on. Terry Williams was brought in for a day, running back out of, I believe it was Kutztown. He was released the next day, and they brought in Matthew Tucker. Another big back, 6'1", in the 230s, so maybe he's a little bit of power for that goal line period, stuff like that, till a Robinson can come back and show what he can do. The interesting one off this list, though, Titus Davis. We said he bounced back and forth, about 2-3 years in the league now, seemed to be having a somewhat decent camp, nothing negative, quit.
Quit football,
man. Walked away from the team, 23 years old, he's retiring. Is this a case of how much talent he saw what was in front of him and the grind wasn't for him anymore? Or do you view this as one of those I'm retiring for my health situations?
For me, it's probably a health situation deep down because, I football is the modern safe war. You're going out there and you're going to war, man. You're putting your body on the line. People have life after football. Football only lasts an average of 3.5 years for any player that enters the league. If you're great, you last a little longer, obviously. But you're only in the league for the max maybe 15 years, you know what I mean? So
at certain positions.
Exactly.
You want to talk about a true max. You're
exactly.
Looking 8 or 9. You had a
like
great
a punter
career.
Or kicker is lasting maybe 20 years.
I was lucky enough, I can jump in here. I ran into Stephen Bowen at the NFL offices, and he said something to me that just stuck with me. We were talking, you know, how did you get into what you're doing now? And he said, I wanted 10 years in the league. Everything after that to me was house money. And I thought that was great. And it was a little bit of a insight into a ball player's mind of everybody thinks that they think you're going to play forever. It's becoming evident. A lot of them realize you ain't going to play forever.
Exactly. And if you're lucky enough to last 10 years like Stephen Bowen did, you know, that is a great career. and you should be happy with that. But there are players like Tyus Davins that are not at the top of their game, not going to get those starting time like Bowen did throughout his career, where they're like, should I put my body up for this? Am I putting my body, my family's well-being, and financially up for this? It's a tough decision. And if I had to pick it, I would probably pick quitting football too.
You never know where a guy's head's at. I hope this kid didn't look at a depth chart here and say, I'm not going to make it. I'm quitting. I don't want to do this another 3 weeks.
And good, we don't want him because he doesn't want to compete.
Because there's 31 other teams. I understand your thought process there, but it's different when you got to get out there and you look at Marshall go through a drill. You look at Decker go through a drill. You look at Quincy over there flexing, tying his shoelaces.
My goodness.
And it's like, how do I jump these guys? You know what I mean? Tompkins having a good camp. It's just, I hope he didn't look at us and say, I'll never make it here. I got to go. Because there's 31 other teams out there that we're watching.
But those are the guys that you want. The guys that have the dog in them. You know, the guys who are going to fight all the way.
That are going to look at that depth chart and go, I'm a rise.
And you know what? I'm going to try to get Decker's position. I'm going to try to get Devin Smith when he gets back's position. I'm going to try to compete with Brandon Marshall. You know, it looks hard on paper. But when you're a competitive person and you're a competitive football player and going out there trying to get money for your family, it's not that hard. This guy, obviously, he's satisfied. I would hope it's an injury issue.
Talking about being competitive and talking about money, just for that same little lump right there, how about the competition at kicker and the money we can save at the position? This kid, Ross Martin's bringing it. He's bringing it. Folks having a very, very good camp in his own
that's
right.
That's why you hold on to that guy, the guy who knows what he's doing, not the rookie who's having a good camp. He's having a good camp. He's impressing people. But what does that kid look like when the weather gets cold in MetLife?
What does that kid look like?
Okay, when they're icing him twice. Okay, what is it looking like? Okay, I want Folk out there. If Folk looks good and it's a big competition and they're even, or even if Rush Martin has a little bit over him, I'm still taking Folk.
Did you catch it? The Frank LaPeruta swear jar has just gotten another dollar richer. I talked about him. I was given a little scenario there as you were talking, and I said 45 seconds, MetLife down by two, and I said them. So there's a dollar into the swear jar.
Thank God I'm louder.
And I had to own up to it. I did say
it. I hope you guys didn't hear that.
Getting back to the kicking position, I understand what you're saying, and overall I'm in agreement with you. It would alleviate a lot of my, we can save a nice chunk of money at the position. If what we just touched on, Brino Giacomini, if that figure would have been coming off the books and that would have given us a little wiggle room, I feel I would be in your corner 100%.
Can you stop talking about saving the money and let's talk about winning football games, because we know who we want out there late in November with 2 seconds on the clock. Here's another dollar, okay? You know who you want out there. You don't want the rookie out there.
I can't argue that. I really can't. I can't argue that. Let's talk about a guy who came out of camp and we were expecting big things. Jordan Jenkins. Every first team rep outside of Lorenzo Maldon on the other side, Jordan Jenkins has received.
Maldon too.
Big surprise to me. We expected Maldon to take every rep though. I expected Jenkins to put such a push on the Trevor Rileys that he would just, you couldn't keep him out of the starting lineup. But I by no means expected this coaching staff to put him out there day one and allow him to take every rep. And obviously the kid is holding his own, because you've heard nothing but praise for him as well.
And you know what got me excited about him is, you know, all the media outlets were at Jets camp week one, you know, the first couple days, you know, which was cool. I'm glad they got it out early. So
yeah,
we have the rest of the camp.
Exactly.
So we have the rest of the
say.
Camp with no media. Just You let them practice. But Adam Schefter had a lot to talk about Jordan Jenkins, and I was excited about that because he was a guy we got late in the draft, but he had a lot of respect for him. So I'm excited to see what he has this season.
Couldn't agree more. We've touched on it earlier. I really think we got just unreal value at number 83 overall. With this type of linebacker and this type of person, I think Jenkins, of course, you always have to throw it in there, bearing injury. This is a physical contact sport. Bearing injury, I think Jenkins is going to be here a long, long time.
Very excited. I'm also excited about one other player on the defense, Steve McClendon.
Oh, we're taking it there again?
What is going on? Is this guy a professional or what?
You hear guys talk about him in the weight room and what he deadlifts, what he squats. You hear guys talk about him in just run drills and the fact that the man can't be moved. And it honestly is exciting to hear, because we all know what we're missing out on with snacks. And I really am getting to the point where I'm starting to think this kid McClendon is going to alleviate the loss of Damon Harrison.
I still think they're talking about him in Latrobe, Pennsylvania at Steelers training camp and missing him over there, because he's going to be definitely going to fill that void that Snacks was going to bring here.
Really does look like quite an addition for the figure we brought him in at compared to the figure that we would have had to have paid to keep Harrison in that 3-4 role. You got to say it that way, because Harrison was paid as a 4-3 defensive tackle. It's what he is now. He plays the one technique. He's playing the nose in the 4-3, but he's a 4-3 D tackle now. So they're expecting him in the passing game. We don't really ask that out of our nose. We want our nose to anchor, not be moved, and clog that up. And you've heard nothing but just that in reports of Steve McClendon. So
very, very excited. I got one other position I wanted to bring up. Let's bring up the safety position. What about, we know who the two starters are right now, but let's talk about their two backups. How about Middleton and Rontez?
What a surprise. You want to bring Rontez up quick?
I love bringing up Rontez.
What a surprise.
My man, and after practice, can I ask you watching that? Him work with the special teams coach, because he knows that's how he makes a team, on top of already playing
that's
well at the safety
around
position.
As long as he has.
Westhoff right
you,
there.
You said Rontez and Doug Middleton.
Doug Middleton. I said Doug Middleton.
Okay. Well, what about Deion Bailey? What about Ron Lawton?
Who?
That's kind of how I feel in terms of anything coming out news-wise about Deion Bailey.
That's what I thought before the season.
You have not heard a peep through 9 days of practices so far. You have heard the Calvin Pryors talk about how much Middleton has stood out, though. And I really like what this kid brings to the table. I truly do. I spoke about it when we broke down the undrafted class. I think Middleton could have the type of career arc and path that Rontez has had here with the Jets.
I think from that undrafted list, I think Marshall and Middleton are the players that actually get some real time this year.
If it's
Russ Martin if he beats out.
I can see that. Let's not forget the Lawrence Thomas on the defensive line position, the Robbie Anderson and the Kyle Friends from Temple.
Do you think they actually get time in the NFL this year, like
no,
Middleton
absolutely
and
not.
Marshall
I gonna,
will?
I was going to say in terms of overall roster and a year or two down the line, I think these guys could be the guys that we're talking about, young, undrafted free agents possibly pressing and beating out. So Deion Bailey getting pressed by a Doug Middleton right now. I truly think we got 4-5 guys off this undrafted list that are going to be names that we're bantering back and forth on for the next year or two. And that's a testament to our scouting department and our player evaluation staff. You got to find these guys out there because they're out there. And I think we came away with a hell of a class this year. I really do.
I'm loving everything I'm hearing.
Anything offensive side of the ball you want to touch on? Maybe Amaro? Love what I'm hearing with Amaro.
Yeah,
you see the one drop or two, but you see that with the Brandon
Marshalls.
He's
looking consistent. He's looking consistent, and he's looking like he knows what he's doing out there, and he's not having those young guy frights or anything like that. I think he looks good.
How do you feel about the weight he lost?
I think just Amaro is just a big monster anyway, no matter how – he's just a big frame, you know. No matter how much weight he loses, he's a big
carries
frame.
Carries 258. Quite swole, so I'll give
you
that.
His shoulders and his stature is pretty impressive.
I just hope he is the pass catching threat at the position that he has the potential to be.
Eyes to the tuck, baby. Eyes to the tuck.
I'm telling you, man, what this offense could grow into if we can get something out of that position. Couple names we haven't heard through camp. In certain positions, that's a good thing. Muhammad Wilkerson, a guy we're expected to be back soon. Likewise with the Devin Smith. A lot of exciting things going on. They've had the pads on a few days these last few practices and doing goal line drills. It's real football getting practiced out there and we're into it, baby. Thursday night, game day.
We've been practicing inside a lot. The weather hasn't been great, and I feel bad for all those fans that go out there and go try to look at this team, and they're not getting any time with them.
I feel bad for all the fans like us that were shut out this year with new policies and whatever it is. Shut the media out. Don't shut your bloodlines out. Don't shut that fan base out, man. We're the ones filling up these seats.
Unbelievable. Real quick before we end the show right here, want to give a congratulations to Brett Favre. Had a 39-minute speech last night at his Hall of Fame speech. He did come 1 year. We didn't have the best ending to that year, but he was a Jet. Would
have loved to have seen what that season could have been if Brett Favre doesn't tear that bicep. It was evident he was hurt. But when we went down to Tennessee and beat that undefeated team and Leon Washington spiking it in the end zone, we thought, we all thought we had something special.
One of the best players of all time. Congratulations, Brett.
That's an argument for another day, but a congratulations nonetheless. Tip of the cap to a hell of a career. That'll be it here this week for the Couch Scouts. Looking forward to bringing you more on training camp. And we get into some real football here this Thursday. Jets-Jags, baby. Once again, thanks for tuning in another week with us here at the Couch Scouts. You can find us on Apple iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, and anywhere else podcasts can be downloaded.
Hey, Jet fans. Follow us on Twitter at NYJ Couch Scouts. Leave us a comment or a question. Also, look out for our new prizes and giveaways.
Want to give a big shout out to our producer, Gio Garcia, as well as our co-founder, David Schwendeman. And an even bigger shout out to you, the fans, once again. You keep tuning in. We'll keep bringing it to you guys. Till next week, let's get one.
Catch us next week, Jet fans.
Couch Scouts Podcast. Audio of the free.
In the home of the Jets.